All right, here we go. Quiet!
Quiet!
Roll up!
And the Oscar goes to...
You like me right now. You like me.
There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Fascinating to think that probably the only laugh that man will ever get in his life is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings.
And the Oscar goes to Jack Palance, City Slickers.
It's a clean sweep. The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Humphrey Bogart here.
Hello, and welcome to the Big Picture Podcast, where we take a look at the latest movie news, the films of today and yesterday, and we put them all into some sort of context. Doesn't matter which one, we mean all. Seated across the microphone from me on this wonderful, glorious day is Film Buff Online Editor-in-Chief Rich Dries.
And seated across the microphone from me is Film Buff Online Contributing Editor and all-around Oscar maven, Natasha Bogutsky.
I'm a maven.
Yes, you are a maven.
No, well, at least I'm not craven.
That's true. Well, we're doing the Oscars, not the Razzies.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. Well, immediate side trip here. I hate the Razzies.
I know you
do. I think they're kind of crass, and I think it's kind of bullying, even if some people are like, yeah, we made a bad movie, we'll show up and, you know, accept the award in good nature and stuff like that. I'm like, eh. Yeah, let's see you guys make some movies and then get back to us, okay?
I mean, the same year, I did kind of find it funny that the same year Halle Berry won for Monsters Ball, she also walked right over to the Razzies afterwards and accepted her award for Catwoman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, but it is what it is. Let's look towards excellence instead of excrement, shall we? Ooh, nice segue.
Ooh, very nice.
Thank you. And today was a much-delayed Oscar announcements day. It was originally supposed to be last Friday. Of course, the fires in Los Angeles kind of pushed that back first a couple of days and then a couple
Sunday,
of more days.
Yeah. Finally today.
Mm-hmm. And wow, some exciting record-breaking going on. Mm-hmm. Some interesting films that were nominated, a couple of nominations that kind of made me happy. I was excited because I wasn't sure they were going to happen. I know you messaged me like right after they came out with, in all caps, I have so many things to say. So let's get into it.
Did I say that?
Something along those lines. But
hold on. No, I didn't say that. What did I say? We have so much to discuss.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
Well, no.
Let's get started.
I was going with my faulty memory, so. But it's the same gist. Anyways, let's get started indeed. So, I was very, very surprised by 13 nominations for Emilia Perez. Partially, because I don't think it's that great a movie. Now, I agree with some of the things the movie wants to talk about, and it's always one of those cases where just because they make a movie about something you like or you agree with doesn't automatically make it a good movie. I'm happy to see more trans representation in films, and for goodness sakes, the actress from the film
is nominated for Best Actress.
Carla Sofia Gascón becomes the first openly trans woman to get a Best Actress nomination.
She's fantastic in this.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm happy for her. I kind of guess they probably would have pulled a Best Song or a Best Score nomination. That wasn't too much of a surprise. There were a few other things though that I was just like, really? I'm a little surprised by like screenplay and stuff like that, but It's been getting a lot of momentum through award season, so
it was getting momentum even before award season when Netflix announced that they were picking it up. I had heard about Emilia Perez as far back as like April.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean the buzz around it has been building all year, but I don't think, I mean, critically, it did okay. And I was surprised, you know, and maybe that's me being in a critics bubble more than, you know, a general audience bubble or the industry bubble.
So I've been doing some research on it.
Okay.
And a lot of filmmakers, a lot of critics loved it more than, say, the Mexican community.
Oh, yes. Or yeah, and
the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm.
LGBTQ+. And I think that might be also constituting to when you see a Rotten Tomatoes score, it's not the highest rated movie on the list because it is a story that is being told in a way that makes some people feel it's inauthentic.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty, I think, of Emilia Perez as I've been watching it, and I have about 20 minutes left on it and I can see where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opera.
It kind of is, yeah.
It's essentially an opera, and that includes even some of the melodramatic moments that it gets to.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, though. Even if you agree, and I kind of do, with the idea that the screenplay itself, the story it's telling, is a kind of a bit regressive in terms of trans rights and things like that, do you still knock the movie if you think it had good enough cinematography to land it as one of the nominees for cinematography?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, you still would say, yeah, that's a screenplay issue. I'm looking strictly at the art of pointing the camera
Correct.
And lighting that set.
Yes.
Okay.
If I'm looking at Best Picture, then I look at how everything plays together as a whole. It's like looking at a dish and saying, okay, maybe it just had a little too much paprika, but overall, the flavors are there. The consistency is there. It's as I've been watching Great British Bake Off, that's how I would look at a film. It's you're pulling it apart and you're seeing how everything works together as a single unit. But you also have to pay attention to each piece individually and do not confuse one with another.
True. But the movie does earn a place in the history books. Simply because it's 13 nominations makes it the most nominated foreign language film in Oscar history. I didn't have time to look up who they surpassed, but my guess off the top of my head is probably Parasite from just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, good for them. And I'm glad that at least the movie is sparking a discussion about its representation and things like that. And maybe that'll inspire filmmakers in the future to do more things. And I think especially highlighting a trans performer is probably very necessary going into the next couple of years.
Well,
and there's one or two other things I saw in the nominees.
We have a few forefront trans performers in our community. I would say the biggest one right now is Hunter Schafer,
mm-hmm.
Who is fantastic in pretty much everything that I have seen her do.
And Elliot Page.
Yes, of course, and the great Elliot Page.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that we are going to be seeing a lot more of that in our films. I wouldn't even be surprised if Zoe Saldana walked away with an Oscar statue for this movie, because as I've been watching it, she's absolutely fantastic.
Okay, so I'm going to, since you brought up Zoe Saldana, I'm going to just go right to a thought I had when I looked at the nominations this morning. Challengers got shut out. I know you really love that movie. You were rooting for that movie.
A lot of the Best Actress category was kind of an interesting one to run in this year. And yes, I did think that Zendaya needed to be talked about in that discussion,
mm-hmm.
but also Maria got shut out as well. And most people were thinking there was going to be something for Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, that surprised me. Maria, script-wise, I found kind of meh, but I really enjoyed her performance in
yes.
it. I thought she was amazing. There's a few other things. Let's see. We coming in with the next highest amount of nominations at 10, we had The Brutalist and Wicked Part 1. Wicked sweeping
up. Wicked was obvious.
Yeah, that was kind of, yeah, no shit, that was going to happen. The Brutalist, I'm happy. I know there was some concern about the use of AI beforehand, and that kind of had people you know, wondering, oh, is that going to affect its nomination? I think because people were looking at it as like, oh, that got leaked. That's a bit of a dirty trick. I know over on the Philadelphia Film Critics Circles podcast, Film Scribes, when we talked about it, somebody said that's the kind of dirty trick Harvey Weinstein would have done when he was actively and aggressively campaigning for Oscars for films for Miramax. Mm-hmm. And then we all decided, well, thankfully, that's the least awful thing Harvey Weinstein has ever done.
I would love to say, by the way, congratulations to Guy Pearce on his first ever nomination.
In The Brutalist, that's an amazing performance. I
can't
love
wait to
his
see
performance.
The Brutalist. I was sitting down today going, okay, what is my short list look like? And I really only have six movies that
That's not bad. I mean, because
six
I was
major players that
I was seeing everything was being thrown at me, you know, through the last couple of months of 2024. I think there's maybe one thing in documentaries that I haven't seen, and then the short film stuff. And I was like, wow, I am really on top of all of these this year, which is nice. I don't have, you know, I don't have to scramble, you know, not that you're going to be scrambling. You have 6 weeks or so until March 2nd when the Academy Awards will be presented. But
happy birthday weekend.
Yes, I know. That's going to be fun. That gives me a good reason to take my take the next day off so I can I can sleep in after we do a midnight podcast that night. And then on we go. So, anyways, there was, let's see. Also,
big shocker. apart from Ralph Fiennes, no other acting nominations for Conclave. Isabella Rossellini.
Yes, yes, but none of the other gentlemen in the cast.
Gentlemen. And honest, I think Isabella Rossellini was the least deserving one in the supporting cast.
I'm not sure I agree with you there. I would say, though, that the men probably canceled each other out.
Probably, yeah.
Because, I mean, as much as you say, oh, I want to go for John Lithgow, you're like, oh, I want to go for Stanley Tucci. Oh, I want to go for...
Sergio Castellino.
I was going to say Cardinal Vaping, but...
Of course, I know Sergio.
I know. You're getting ready for your trip to Italy, so...
Well, also, he's a great Italian director, actor, and I was first introduced to him in Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian,
where he played
King Miraz, and he was just like, wow. And it's the same with his henchman, Pier Francesco Favino, who was in Maria.
Okay, Wicked obviously was going to get a bunch. I was a little surprised, and we can probably hit this again when we get the actual category. John Chu, though, getting froze out of director.
Yes, I heard about
Best
that.
Best director, which is crazy to me, unless they're thinking...
Save it for part two?
The Peter Jackson Return of the King treatment. And other people are like, well... Give it to him now, because who knows what comes out next year that could possibly bump him again, as we're seeing a little bit with
Dune Part 2
and Dune 1. Yeah, the first part. So it's always kind of odd, and maybe just in the moment, award what you think and don't think ahead about, don't try to play four-dimensional chess with the Oscars. Let's see. Also, A Complete Unknown got 6 nominations. I'm sorry, A Complete Unknown got 8 nominations, as well as Conclave. And Dune Part 2 and The Substance got 5. So those are all the biggies.
What about for Anora?
Oh, yeah, Anora got 6 as well. I was very excited. Sean Baker, whose work I have been really keeping an eye on ever since Tangerine came out. You know, so we had that, Florida Project, Red Rocket, and now this. He keeps making really interesting stories about people on the margins of society. A lot of time they're like sex workers or things like that. And there's a certain level of humanity about it. There's never any kind of judgment about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to see that Anora is kind of breaking through into the mainstream, even more so than the Florida Project did for him a few years ago. So I'm very excited.
I've always been kind of aware of his work. I cannot say I've ever seen a single one of his movies.
You've been aware because I've been nagging you to watch some of his stuff, I think.
Yeah. I was familiar because I've gone through plenty of awards seasons at this point. And I've heard his name get mentioned several times. I've just never gotten around to his work, mainly because it never hits the cinemas around here.
It doesn't. It does. Well, Anora did.
Anora was the first.
Because Neon gave it a big push.
Yeah.
I think maybe Florida Project hit our local cinemas
it was
for a week.
For not even a week. And it was only after the nominations came out. And I couldn't get to it. Because unfortunately, our local Cinemark likes to say, oh, here's something that's awards heavy. We're going to put it at 11 a.m.
On a Tuesday
when the only people who could go see it are retirees.
Yeah, I have a long list of complaints about how our local Cinemark schedules their screenings for certain things, which is upsetting because, you know, hey, I would like to go see more things. You would get more of my money.
One of my favorite nominations, though, that hit the list was Nosferatu for cinematography.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And I was jumping up and down about that one. Well deserved.
Yes.
Very well deserved.
Okay. Well, let's kind of go through some of the majors and a few of them. I don't want to say minors, but some of the other categories here, going from reverse alphabetical order, except outside of the biggies of picture actors and writers. So let's start with visual effects. Alien Romulus. Fine. Better Man. That's the one I kind of want to win because I really liked Better Man. And when your entire film is hinged on your main character seeing himself as a monkey and he is portrayed on screened on as a monkey. And it's a hell of a performance. But even like some of the...
That's a hard sell. And I
know it's a hard sell, but
well, no, it's going to be a hard sell, not because it's Better Man or because of its story or whatever it is. It is going to be a hard sell because there's been a strong line for several years that separates visual effects from motion capture.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of arguments in the past about Andy Serkis's great motion capture work and that he should be being nominated for roles, but
yeah, and we do have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes also
in this
motion category.
Capture.
Exactly, and I would like to see it though. Kind of, you know, there's more than just the monkey in Better Man. There's a lot of things. A lot of the music videos, music production numbers are very effects heavy, and they're amazing. And I think rather than just using visual effects to extend city streets to make them look like certain places or for big giant space battles or what have you, I think what they do is kind of a little bit more interesting and maybe a little bit more artistic. We'll see how the Academy feels about that.
I have a feeling it's going to land between Dune Part 2 and Wicked. And as much as we have had this fight in the past about what is, better visual effects or is it the
most
visual effects?
Or most editing. Looking at you, Queen movie.
Unfortunately, visual effects at this point has become that is the popularity vote that we give to the blockbuster. It's probably going to come down between those two.
Yeah. International feature film. We've got I'm Still Here from Brazil, Emilia Perez from France, and Flo, which is an animated film from Latvia. And Flo is also under up for best animated feature. And as we noted, Emilia Perez and also I'm Still Here are also in Best Picture overall.
It's going to go to Emilia Perez.
You think it will win here and not Best Picture?
No. There's a possibility it could take home both.
That's true.
Parasite did, yeah. Yeah.
So maybe we'll see. Documentary feature film, Black Box Diaries was really fantastic.
I'm sitting this category.
I know.
At least, no,
I know you don't do docs all that often. All five of these nominees.
A hell of a fucking title, soundtrack to a coup d'état.
Yeah, it's an amazing documentary as well. The only thing I haven't seen on here is No Other Land, but the other four are all worthy films, and it should be interesting how they play out. And hopefully, just being on the list will get more eyes on all of them. Mm-hmm. Moving along, let's go. Cinematography, Brutalist, Dune Part 2, Emilia Perez, Maria, Nosferatu.
I want it for Nosferatu. I think it could end up going to either Dune or Emilia Perez.
Yeah, I mean,
Nosferatu, I think the cinematography is part of what really creates the world and the atmosphere. It's not just we're pointing a camera and framing up a gorgeous shot. It's a gorgeous shot that conveys sometimes more, I think, than the actors.
There's artistry involved.
Yeah, they're not on screen.
I would say Dune Part 2 has similar artistry in terms of different techniques that they use to realize some of the different worlds that we go to in that movie. Again, should be a great, great category to watch. Let's see. Original screenplay. Anora, The Brutalist, A Real Pain, September 5, and The Substance. Now, I'm going to throw September 5 a bone here and saying this feels like it's a it's a great movie. I really liked it. It's a great ensemble. There was nobody who could stand out as a lead.
That was my problem with Saturday Night.
Again, yeah.
It's a great ensemble film, but...
So this feels almost like a recognition of the ensemble as well. I don't know why I'm just reading it that way,
what
but that's how it
happened to our casting nominations this year?
Wasn't this the year they were supposed to start that category?
Well, shit, because this would have been a great year for ensembles.
Yes. Yeah, it was a great year for ensembles. You're right. But out of these, though, as much as I love Anora, I kind of am like leaning towards A Real Pain. I think what Jesse Eisenberg wrote was an amazing story about dealing with the death of a loved one and struggling with that kind of that emotional turmoil inside. And
I think it's going to go to Anora. Because I don't think Sean Baker is going to take director. I think it's going to go to Bradley Corbett for
Brutalist.
And that breaks my heart because I would love it to go to The Substance for writing.
Oh, yeah. The Substance is also great. It's some audacious writing.
It is. It's insane.
I love
it so much.
It's so
ambitious. Mm-hmm. And it's ambition that was realized.
Yes, very much so. Okay, adapted screenplay. We've got A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Amelia Perez, Nickel Boys, Sing Sing. I have a feeling it might be Amelia Perez.
It's going to be. I have a feeling.
A Complete Unknown, I don't think, digs into its subject matter at the heart of it. It doesn't give us. If the whole purpose of this movie is to not kind of try to figure out who Bob Dylan is, then it succeeded. But really, I don't think that should have been a goal of a movie. So,
well, thanks for the spoiler. I hadn't seen it yet.
I mean, it's still worth seeing. There's some great performances in here, a few of which who are not nominated, but it's the production design and stuff like that is amazing, and it gives you the broad strokes of his early career, so that's always nice to have. Okay, but let's move into the acting categories, starting with actress in a supporting role.
Zoe Saldana.
Yes, you love Zoe Saldana and Amelia Perez.
She is such a standout on this list of performances. The only other one I would put behind her currently right now would be Ariana Grande.
Okay.
I've not seen The Brutalist, so I cannot, and I have not seen A Complete Unknown, but I've seen enough clips to be able to look at this and go, no.
Okay. Felicity Jones, I think, is good in The Brutalist. I don't think it's enough of a part to really give a, you know, one of those really captivating performances. She does great work with what she has, though. So we'll see going forward. Actor in a supporting role, Yuri Borisov for Anora, Kieran Culkin for A Real Pain, Edward Norton in A Complete Unknown, Guy Pearce in The Brutalist, Jeremy Strong in The Apprentice.
Okay, so I actually got the biggest laugh when the nominations were announced, and I was like, oh, this is another Succession off, and I'm waiting for Jeremy Strong to storm the stage, take it right out of Kieran's hands, and goes, I'm the eldest boy! But which would make sense considering the character that he plays for The Apprentice. Mm-hmm. But this is Kieran's... This is his moment.
Yeah.
Take it. He's the one to beat.
It's a phenomenal performance. As much as I like Yura Borisov in Anora, I thought his was great. Guy Pearce in The Brutalist is just so fun.
I love
and
Guy Pearce
stunning
so much,
and amazing.
He does not get a lot of great work anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of these categories you're looking at, you know, I can't be too mad if whoever wins.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's always the best thing. Okay, so actress in a leading role. Cynthia Erivo for Wicked. Carla Sofia Gasson for Amelia Perez, as we already mentioned. Mikey Madison for Enora. Demi Moore for The Substance. And Fernanda Torres for I'm Still Here.
Demi Moore.
I love what Demi Moore did. And I think there's a nostalgia factor for her and how she was trying to push her career at one point doing some films that pushed the boundaries. And I'm blanking on the name of the movie where she was the Marine.
But, G.I. Jane?
Yeah, G.I. Jane.
How could you forget it after the Oscars a couple years ago?
Yeah, I know. Yikes. And then she just didn't get those opportunities until this movie came along. And I think a lot of people might be like, you know what? Maybe we did her wrong. Maybe we, you know, I don't want to say we owe her an Oscar, but they're going to look at her and have a little bit of nostalgia for what she was doing and say, you know what? It's her time.
I was actually surprised there was no nomination for Margaret Qualley for supporting actress, because I don't think that Demi would work without Margaret.
True.
They are
very much so.
The beauty of this movie, as they have stated many times, is they are one. Just because they're split week on, week off, does not make them any less one person. Mm-hmm. They're your two halves of the same whole. Not even. They are the same person.
Yeah.
If you don't have one, you don't have the other.
True. Well, let me ask you the question I always do in these situations.
Who would I have removed?
Yes. Who would you kick off that list?
Isabella Rossellini. I'm sorry. I don't think she's deserving of that nomination. I think she is the least... I love Isabella Rossellini. Mm-hmm. I absolutely adore that woman. I want to give her all the praise in every freaking category all the time. This is not one of those times.
That's okay. I see your point. I disagree, but I see your point. I would probably say Felicity Jones. But again...
I can't kick her off because I haven't seen that performance.
I know. Well, get on that. Let's see. Actor in a leading role. We've got... Adrian Brody, Timothy Chalamet, Coleman Domingo, Ralph Fiennes, and Sebastian Stan. Here, I think Chalamet may have a slight advantage because he did his own singing as well.
It's Brody.
It might be Brody's here, yeah. I do love that Sebastian Stan is here for The Apprentice alongside Mark Strong. For their portrayals of, you know, a young Donald Trump and his mentor, the absolutely odious Roy Cohen. So I don't know if this is going to make some people mad, and I don't care. But between that and Amelia Perez, we are going to be seeing a somewhat political awards ceremony in March. And I think... some people better brace themselves for that if they don't like that.
I think if it's not Brody, it will be Fiennes, but I think it's Brody.
Yeah, it feels like it's probably Adrian Brody's year. Directing, we have Jacques Audiard for Amelia Perez, Sean Baker for Enora, Brady Corbett for The Brutalist, Coralie Farragut for The Substance, and James Mangold for Complete Unknown, and Mangold is not going to get it.
No, it's going to Brady Corbett.
Yeah, probably. I mean, just taking a look at the idea that they spent $10 million on a 3.5-hour period piece movie that looks freaking amazing.
How much?
It's like 10 or 12 million, something like that. It was
on
like
3 hours?
3.5 hours.
Can you teach us how you do your work? Because that is something we could only hope to try to achieve.
I know.
Okay. You think he wouldn't mind investing in some independent film?
I would love to talk to his producer, who is his wife, about their fundraising. Well, then again, they've talked about in interviews how this project came together and fell apart a number of times because at the last minute, some funding would fall out or whatever. And I think maybe that was for the best because it just needed to happen right at this moment. Yeah. Yes. And before we get to feature film, I'm just going to run down the animated feature nominees. We've got Flo, Inside Out 2, Memoir of a Snail, Wallace and Gromit, and The Wild Robot. And honestly, I feel it's going to come down to either The Wild Robot or Memoir of a Snail. But then again, Inside Out 2, because that's Pixar.
Inside Out 2 has the biggest campaign ability here.
Yes.
But The Wild Robot, it makes me want to actually sit down and watch this because it, it racked up like four or five nominations.
Yeah, there's a sound design. It's in the sound.
Score.
It's a wonderful film. I really love it. I kind of lean towards Memoir of a Snail a little bit more just because it feels like it's a very small personal story, and I kind of related a little bit to the outsider aspect of the main character there, you know, kind of growing up as the weirdo around, you know, other people in school and stuff like that. So
you're letting it get personal.
I know, I know.
And this is why my picks are always a lot better than yours.
At least I'm admitting to it now, right?
Oh, God, so, yeah. No,
as opposed to before, I never would.
I love that. Big Short.
Yes, I know. You are going to like bring that up when you eulogize my dead corpse at my funeral.
After
aren't you?
Getting past the, it's a butt.
Yes.
then yes, I will. I still haven't opened it and watched it because I know in my hardest of hearts that there is no way even after seeing it my mind would change.
Yeah, you will want to get the last word in on that, I know. And I fully understand that this is one of the dynamics of our friendship.
That's the only night that I can ever remember where I missed half an Oscar ceremony and I still fucking got Best Picture.
True. Okay. But speaking of Best Picture, we have our list of 10 this year. Anora, The Brutalist, A Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. Thoughts?
Wicked is going to take home a lot of the production categories on this. So, and I think they're going to capitalize on that even more so than Dune is going to.
Mm-hmm.
I somehow have it down between Anora, The Brutalist, and Amelia Perez. Conclave, I actually think that there is the religious aspect of it mixed with the very interesting surprise at the end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Is going to turn a lot of people off. And I think that movie is going to get really shut out.
I would hate to see that because I really liked it. I
loved it. I loved it. And I love the conversations that were happening actually in the cinema when the film was done. People were just sitting in their seats talking amongst themselves. I've never seen anything like that happen. Old, young, religious, non-religious, and they were all having interesting conversations and questions.
Yeah, and it's a movie that treats its characters respectfully.
Yeah.
They all have a point of view. It's not just, I want to be Pope. Ah.
Yeah, there's no malice. There is no, I am bad for the sake of being bad, or I am a placeholder for all of the anti-Catholic propaganda or whatever it is. It is a very strong character piece across the board.
Yeah, these characters all come with their own points of view, which are kind of
and their own redundant convictions.
Yes, and but these points of view are all part of, you know, different sections of Catholicism where they want, some want to be a little bit more progressive, others want to bring Latin back, you know, and
they
the want
to be a little more traditional.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I appreciate what it's doing, very much so. Maybe that's where it gets a screenwriting award then, and maybe not get Best Picture. It'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out.
As much as I really would love The Substance to just come in as like an underdog and just take them by surprise, which would also be the same for I'm Still Here and Nickel Boys, I do not see that happening. I have a question for you.
Okay.
And this might play into how I also see The Substance working out. In your very long Oscar history brain.
Yes.
And I I have a great Oscar history brain, but it only goes back 20 years. You've got a little bit more time on it.
I haven't missed one since, I think, 86. Okay. 85, 86, somewhere in there, and in high school.
Has the Academy Awards ever awarded a horror film Best Picture?
Silence of the Lambs.
I wouldn't call that a horror film, actually.
Some people do, though.
I can see how it can straddle the line, mm-hmm. but it's to me, that is not a horror film at all. I consider it a crime thriller.
And that's fair. But like a more straight up horror film, I mean, I think The Substance kind of straddles the line too.
It does, but it definitely plants itself more on the side of body horror than Silence of the Lambs planted itself in the horror genre.
I'm trying to remember if David Cronenberg's Crash didn't.
No.
That other movie called Crash did, which is such a travesty.
Politics.
I hated that movie. I really did. I thought it had lazy stereotypes. But anyways.
A lot of people see the same thing about Emilia Perez.
That's true, too. So, you know, we'll find out. But, yeah, I can't remember any off the top of my head throughout all of Oscar history that would have gone to horror. And especially would have happened probably within the last 20 or 30 years.
Because
before that, it would be considered way too genre to ever even make it outside of, like, makeup.
The last horror film, and even I don't consider it horror. I actually consider it black comedy, satirical black comedy, that got a nomination was Get Out. That was 10 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. Yeah. Wait, didn't Nope get a...
Nope.
Okay. I set you up, and I didn't intend to, but it works fine. Yeah, you're right. We haven't seen anything in horror,
which is why I would love to see this come in and just like bitch slap Anora and the Brutalist right out of the way and take it
again.
But it won't.
Nearly
it's an underdog.
Nearly all of these films are fantastic and deserving. You know, my personal beef about Emilia Perez aside, I wouldn't, you know, I really wouldn't be too upset if
Perez.
I mean, I'm not angry at Emilia Perez the same way I was angry at something like Green Book, which was not a good movie.
No.
Kind of crappy.
We're
way too late in the history of our country to still be awarding films for having a white savior character. And
yet Shogun did so well, and the only person who didn't get the award was the white savior character.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go. So we'll see. 6 weeks or so until March 2nd. So everybody, you have some time to catch up on some of these films. Some of them are being re-released back into the theaters. I know The Substance was this past week.
I know. I didn't see it.
I don't know if how long it's going to hang around, but that's a movie you kind of want to go see in a theater, especially if you're going with a bunch of people who have no idea what they're in for.
Particularly, take your mom, take your dad, tell them it's a feel-good film about a person and their little sister. An aging actress and her little sister who may have the ability to upstage her and take her spot in society.
Wow.
That is
an incredible misrepresentation of this movie.
Well, it's partially there.
And I like it, though. I like it a lot.
And just watch their face come the third act.
God. Watch their face after like about 20 minutes in.
Watch their face when they see Dennis Quaid eating shrimp. For some reason, watching Dennis Quaid eating shrimp is the most disgusting thing about this movie.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. Yep, not going to argue. Okay, but on that note, though, I think that about wraps us up for today.
Remember, you can find us online at bigpicturepod.com, and we are available on iTunes and Google Play. So either use the link in the show notes post or head directly there, search and hit subscribe.
And if you like what you're hearing, feel free to leave a rating and a review, because that always helps us connect with new listeners. We will be back again, hopefully at least one more time, before our Academy Awards wrap-up show.
And you will find that all right here on the Big Picture Podcast.
Hooray for Hollywood! You may pim, 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 pim.